All right. Y'all ready? God's so good, isn't He? So before our very first conference, which was in 2015, yeah, and I think this is our ninth, because there was one year we didn't do it because of COVID, so I think this is our ninth one. God clearly said that this ladies' conference, Living Free, is about, and she started this, but I'm going to do it again anyway, it's about grace, truth, and authenticity for women to step into wholeness and maturity. And maturity. And then Galatians 5:1, let's put it on the board here though, this time. And let's say this together. Christ has set us free to live a free life, so take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Or on me, right? Don't let people do that. Don't do that. This is where the name of our conference, Living Free, came from. He gave us that verse, and then this is, we knew it was supposed to be called Living Free. And over the years, I have seen so many of y'all getting free. And it's just a wonderful thing. And then God even showed us about Changes That Heal book. And then like that testimony up here with Search for Significance. What a great class. So those of you who have not been to Rhema yet, if you're a Rhema student or graduate, then they're going to probably be picking on you during this conference. But listen to God and do what you're supposed to do. My message tonight is called Living From Your Heart. Living from your heart. Where we are in our hearts makes a big difference in our life. So why is our understanding of the heart so important? And I didn't even know this myself, but in doing some reading and look at other things, the Bible mentions the heart 937 times in the Bible. And that's, I don't even remember which book, what do you call that? What NIV or whatever, I don't know which one it is. What's it called? Translation. Yes, there you go. But 973. It is a significant theme. So we must understand it and keep our hearts healthy. Okay? Proverbs 4:23, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, as above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything. The Bible says everything. So if our heart is messed up, good things don't happen. So we've got to guard our heart and be careful what's going inside of our heart. Have you ever considered the implications of this verse? Or have you experienced this verse and thought, oh, I knew that, but I didn't pay attention for my own life? The idea that our hearts determine the course of our lives is very overwhelming. Most people would say their future is determined by their choices, education, financial ability, or circumstances. Or waiting for mom and dad to tell me what to do. And they're not your savior. He is. He is. You've got to be listening for yourself as you're growing up. Okay? Although these things may play a role in our lives, our hearts are the steering wheel of our lives. Because your heart is the source of everything you do. It's the source of everything else in your life. The heart is the seat of our insides, making up the real person we are before God. Our heart is the most important and essential tool that we have. It is your heart, not your experience, not your knowledge, or your skills that matter most. It's the heart. Okay? We look for many other reasons for our recurring issues, yet God designed us to live out of our hearts. We must know how our hearts overflow into thoughts, words, and action. Everything depends on the condition of the heart, and if your heart is unhealthy, it literally affects everything else. It impacts everything. It threatens your family, your friends, your ministry, your career, and even legacy. You must guard your heart. So who is responsible for your heart? Who's responsible for you? Me. All right, me. So often when things go wrong, we start blaming other people for reasonings why we're not doing well with our heart. But it's us that has to be guarding our hearts. I'll just say this right now. I got this, like I said, back in February. And about 2 months ago, and I was sharing this with Alice the other day, I tell you, my heart was going all over the place. And I was like, what in the world? This is what I'm preaching on. And it was happening to me, and I wasn't guarding my heart. I'm writing it for y'all, but then I wasn't guarding my own heart. Okay? We've got to be looking at that every single day of our life. I used to have this thing where when I would lay my head on my pillow at night, I would go through all of the positions that I had in my life. How did I do with my kids today? How did I do with Walker today? How did I do at church today with our staff? What about this? What about that? I would do a checkup every night. And then some nights I had to stay up a little bit longer because I needed to repent. And sometimes go talk to someone or the next day go to work and go repent there. Okay? We need to be guarding our heart all the time. So some principles of heart health. Our spiritual heart has many similarities to our physical heart. It seems that's why biblical authors use the analogy so often in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Doctors have discovered that the heart is the most critical organ in the body. The central pump and powerhouse circulate the blood and provide oxygen and energy to all of our cells. Your heart beats about, and I didn't know this till I read this, 100,000 times a day. A day. I didn't know that. And about 35 million times yearly. The physical heart. Our body can live with one kidney, one lung, no eyes, no ears, and half a liver, but you need a functioning heart. If it stops, unless it gets revived, right, you die. So it really does matter. Or your body is in big trouble, which can lead to death. Doctors have also discovered much about how we can participate in natural activities to keep our physical hearts healthy and productive. A good diet, exercise, and rest help with all that. Okay, I'm not going to tell y'all how to do all this, but y'all need to do that. Okay, exercise. It's good for you. Eat good food. On the flip side, obesity, a high-fat diet, stress, and bitterness lead to a poor physical heart. If we abuse or force our natural heart to operate in undesigned ways, we will damage it. And an unhealthy natural heart leads to all kinds of physical problems. And we will have pain and live a dysfunctional life. Here's another thing that happened within the last month at Miracle Life Family Church. I know of at least 10, it might even be more now, people in our church that were having heart problems. I'd never seen that before. And many of them were in the hospital and getting surgeries and all these other things. And I just thought, whoa, what is going on here with all this heart stuff? So y'all keep listening up, okay? If we abuse or force our natural heart to operate in undesigned ways, we will damage it. And an unhealthy natural heart leads to all kinds of physical problems. We will have a pain and live a dysfunctional life. So the spirit heart is the same. We can intentionally do positive things that help our spiritual heart and avoid harmful heart-damaging activities. Okay? So again, we've got to look after our heart. My first job out of college, I was working at a hospital. It was a brand new center that was a fitness wellness center, and it also took in people that had cardio problems that were happening as well. And they literally, I graduated on Saturday night, and I started my first job that Monday, and that was the day that that whole facility opened up. Okay? So I worked there for 5 years before moving to Africa. People had heart problems, and doctors realized that they needed more than just operation and pills. It was really interesting with these cardiologists, because this was a kind of a new thing that we needed to take heed to our bodies ourselves, and don't just depend on you're having a heart attack and they'll fix you. No, you've still got to do some fitness and be, you know, eat right the foods and stuff like that. Back then they didn't know it. There was even a guy that was one of the cardiologists, and a lot of the doctors had started coming to this facility, but this guy said, no, I've been skinny all my life, and they just say that's how this thing works, but I'm not going to do that. And I think it was like my second year that I was there, he had a heart attack himself, the cardiologist, because he didn't take heed to this. Guess what he did after that? He came and exercised. Yes. So they need to change. We need to change our lifestyle. Those people need to do that. If that's you, you need to do that. I helped them with their exercise programs, held them accountable to doing their exercise programs. There was a lot of old people. I just loved them. When Walker and I got married, I think it was really close to when I started working there. But when we got married, all the old people came to our wedding, and they were there like an hour ahead because they wanted to be at the front. It was so sweet. And the guy that had built that building, when he paid for the whole thing. It's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He paid for the whole thing. And when he heard me that I was going to go to Africa, he said, listen, if you want to build something like that over there, I'll pay for it. He said that, but God didn't call me to go do that. So it was sad. That was Siegfried. Yeah. So I watched people who couldn't exercise for 5 minutes, and they were grossly obese. And over time, they could exercise longer. Some of them could go up to an hour on a treadmill or the bike or whatever. And so their brand new life happened because now they had a healthy heart. So it's more than just getting a surgery. You've got to do more. Sometimes the doctors intervened with surgery and followed up with lifestyle changes. Although I haven't worked there for 30 years now, this is the 31st year, God still has me helping people develop a healthy spiritual heart. Okay? Literally, when I was in college, I asked them if I could do my senior paper on the physical heart and the spiritual heart, and they didn't let me. So doing this research for this, I thought it was really fun. I could do this kind of. Okay, so let's go look at Matthew 22. And I'm going to just read a verse before it. The Pharisees asked, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So, do you think about every day when you do talk to God? Do you think you've got to, when you're talking to Him, you've got to give Him your whole heart? Because it'll change things for you. Are you sharing with Him what's going on in you? What's going on in your heart? And I'm going to even add to it, are you sharing with others? Because we talk about that a lot every year with this conference, that we need others in our lives as well. Because when you're only talking to God, it's almost like a secret with Him. But when you're talking to other people, Jesus with skin on, they can help you because you've shared stuff with them, and you can hold them accountable and walk with them, and same with you. And then it says, this is the first and great commandment. The great commandment is to love God with all of our hearts. This makes spiritual cardiology very important in our lives. One of the most essential things in all of Scripture is to have a healthy heart. But what exactly is a spiritual heart? So before we can study the heart and heart disease, we need to understand the structure and function of the spiritual heart. This will help us to listen to our hearts and diagnose problems so that God can provide healing and spiritual medicine. This starts with being honest about where we are. Okay? So take note tonight, write some stuff down. Where are you in your heart? And be honest. Can't get help if you're not honest. So we're going to look at four keys for heart health tonight. Four keys. And the first one is having a Bible-based identity. A Bible-based identity. Are you getting your identity from people or maybe what your parents taught you or anywhere else? Are you getting your identity from that, or are you getting your identity from God? How do we see ourselves? Do you feel loved by God and valuable? Or do you think, well, he hasn't helped me for the last month? Okay? And that's a lie. That's a lie. Or what others have said or how others have treated you. Is that where you put your identity? And if you're doing it that way, you are allowing someone to tell you who you are. And they're not the ones who should be deciding that. Now, we all need friends in our lives that call us out for stuff. I know I need it. We need people to do that. But I don't get my identity when somebody says to me, what would I say? If someone said to me something that is counterculture to God, I'd just throw that out. Okay? So where are you? Where are you with that? Proverbs 23:7. As a man or a woman, okay, we'll say woman, thinketh in his heart, her heart, so is she. What do you think in your heart about you? What do you think right now? What do you think in your heart about you? That can be scary. But we need to be doing that, because if we think about that, and we think about what happened yesterday and tomorrow, and then I'm scared to go into work tomorrow because of this, and da-da-da, and what are they going to say, and all these other things, you've left God out of all of this. You know, even when you mess up, God still loves you. He still loves you. I need friends in my life that can call me out, and they do. They do. I have them. That they can call me out, and I know they love me. That to me shows love for me. Because I wasn't, either I didn't know, or I wasn't aware of what I did at all. Okay, we all believe something about ourselves. And the big question is, where did you get that information? Where did you get it? It can't come from the applause of others or the success of performance. It can't come from the shame of your past. It can't. You are loved by God. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Thanks, Tim. He loves you. He does. Yeah. God has spoken amazing truths about you, and they need to be deeply settled in your heart. But are you taking the time with him to show you those things? Ephesians 1 and 2. And what I've done with this is, I'm not writing out the scripture, but I'm just going to share a lot of words that God put in this text. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 and 2 that we are blessed. We are chosen. We are adopted. We are accepted. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. We are sealed or protected. We are made alive. We're made alive. We're loved. We're seated with Christ. We're brought near. And we are reconciled by God. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe it? Okay, well, let's go through these together. I'm going to say it, and then you're going to say it. Paul tells us, we are blessed. We are chosen. We are adopted. We are accepted. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. Let's pause just a minute. You're forgiven. Do you believe it? All right. We are sealed. We are made alive. We are loved. We are seated with Christ. We are brought near. And we are reconciled to God. Amen. Write that scripture down. Just every morning, get up, read through that. It's amazing. It really does mess with your heart in a great way. Great way. If God says that about you as His child, that truth must supersede all other information you have believed about yourself. Okay, now let me just flip this for just a minute. What you're saying about yourself, maybe you've been stealing and lying and this and this and all these things, okay? I'm not saying that, no, none of that happened. I'm not saying that. But when you know that you are loved by God, you are going to go confess to God and someone else to help you to get over your problems, okay? But your identity still needs to be in Him, knowing even though you messed up, He still loves you. And you know, as Christians, all of us sitting in here, we shouldn't be treating people differently when they mess up or even when they hurt you. We are children of God, and we are supposed to give like He gives. Now, if someone came into my house and stole some things, and maybe I gave them a key and just said, come in my house anytime you want to. Well, yes, I will be taking the key away. I would be doing that. But I'm going to still love that person. There might be consequences for what happened, but I'm still going to love them. That's what He does with us, right? The cost of Rhema is worth it just for the class search for significance. I really do believe that. All those that have come to Rhema, yeah, it's a great class. You are loved and accepted. You are an adopted daughter in the family with full access to inheritance. You are forgiven, you're raised, you're washed, and you're beautiful. You are valuable enough for God to spill His blood, for you to spill the blood of His only Son for you. You can make mistakes, have regret, receive forgiveness, and still believe the truth about who you are as a daughter of God. Number two, the second key heart health is receiving the fuel of words of life. Words of life. Words we say, words that come out of your mouth, right on your heart. Did you know that? What comes out of your mouth gets written in your heart. So those days that you feel really yucky and don't know what to do about life and maybe even contemplate suicide. Okay? You've got to get your mouth closed, and you also probably should, again, go find a friend and say, I want to die today. I hate myself right now. And I know how much God loves me, but I don't feel it. So I just need you to be with me right now. I just need you in my life right now. You've got to be bold enough to share the yucky stuff that's going on in your life. When you're holding it on the inside, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. I'm telling people my yucky stuff all day long sometimes. I just am who I am. None of us are perfect. We're all growing. And when I can spit it out of my mouth, I go, wow, I've told someone. I feel better. Okay? Now, I think over the years, it goes down less and less and less and less and less. But yeah, there are times that, yes, pastors have a lot of the same thing you do. We have everything like you do. And so don't put us up on these pedestals like we're perfect. We're not. We're not. Words we allow from others write on our heart. As soon as someone says something to you that is not truth about you, you don't have to shout it out to them, but you can say out loud, you can do it in your heart, but just say, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's not me. So I'm not going to let that affect me. Now, if it's truth and they were a person that is really friendly with you and y'all are good friends and they say it, you might have to say, you know what? You're right. You are right. Man, I need to get some help with that. But don't keep pushing people away. And don't let them affect your heart to go the wrong way. And then our heart can be rewritten. Mark 4:20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold was sown. Okay? So we've got to be checking on our heart all the time. Make sure that we have good soil within us, which means I'm never going to say to y'all, please don't ever hang out with a non-believer because they need you in their life. But I would say be very careful with people that sometimes help you do bad things. Don't be with those people. Right? Stay away from them until you have the maturity to be a helper to them instead of them affecting you. All right? Okay, number 3. Taking every thought captive. Taking every thought captive. As we saw earlier, as you think in a heart, so are you. Taking your thoughts captive means gaining control over what you think about yourself and your life. In this verse, a person says one thing with their mouth, but their heart is completely different. When faced with this problem, which one do you believe? The thoughts and inclinations of the heart shape the reality of who you are. They shape your thinking, which ultimately shapes your actions. Now, some of you right now already, you know some of your actions that you shouldn't do, right? Do we know that? Okay. So, again, go write down that list. Go get some friends, people that are even here. Talk to each other. Help each other with things like that. But you gotta, when you're starting to get into your heart in a negative way, you've got to stop it as fast as you can. And don't let it keep going on and on and on. And that's why you need to have God and friends. Sorry, I just lost my place. Taking your thoughts captive means taking control. When faced with a problem, which one do you believe? Which one do you believe? The thoughts and inclinations shape who you really are. Okay, that's why what you think about matters. Do y'all just, sometimes you're just, sometimes it's when I'm driving alone and my mind just starts going, just thinking of what happened during the day and just going, And then, and sometimes it's the negative that comes in. And then there's other times it was like, wow, when you spoke to that person today, that's what you need to be doing more of. Alice, where are you? Cause are you right? Yeah. I even went to her the other day because we'd come in very early. And then I think it was when I was leaving and I said, Alice, I was telling her about me messing with, all this heart stuff coming in me while I'm writing all this. But then I said to her something like, that was troublesome. And I was like, God, do you really want me to preach on this? Because, I'm having a problem right now too. You know? But it felt good to get it out. It feels good to get it out, right? And it's not like I was hiding necessarily, but I was like, wow, that felt good. Yeah. And you know what she did? She affirmed me. Okay? And we need that in our life. All right. So think about what matters. All right. And then 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Are we doing that? Are you taking every thought captive? And the more you purpose to listen to your words, but whether it's outside or inside, the more you're listening, the more help you can get from Him instead of just spouting things out. Okay? Again, you can have others in your life that say, could you say that differently, please? Okay? We can work on this. This passage shows us that God holds us responsible for our thoughts that don't align with His thoughts. And literally, if we would only be thinking and giving out or hearing, if we would just get in the realm, well, just do it the way God says to do it, oh, our lives would be better. Our lives would be so much better. And again, God puts people on this earth so we can help each other. So again, instead of being embarrassed, just say, I need help. I need help. Every time you hear me saying this, please correct me. Get people into your life that way. The Message Bible says this wonderfully. It says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies. Yeah, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of the life shaped by Christ. Put that on your mirror in the morning. If you have lights, you can read it. All right. And then 4 is releasing hurts from relationships. This is a big one. Turn to your neighbor and say, I may not know you, but I love you. Somebody can shout one to me too. Come on. All right. Okay. Releasing hurts from relationships. It is from our hearts that we engage in human relationships. Should be from our hearts. These can bring joy, warmth, and help into our lives. However, relationships can also cause much hurt and pain, right? Even with our spouses sometimes, right? And our kids. Okay. And much of this pain affects our hearts. Musicians sing about broken hearts and our achy, breaky hearts, you know, all that. But let's talk about how our hearts can be hurt in a relationship and how that hurt leads to other problems that will never be fixed until our heart is healed. Okay? And this really comes down to forgiveness. Forgiveness allows us to release the pain in our hearts so that while we still remember the event, we no longer carry poison in our hearts, especially to the person that hurt us. And we've got to learn how to forgive and eventually drop that. Okay? Because we've got to move forward in life. And I've had so many people that I've counseled that still just can't let go of what happened. And it's sad that it happened, but you don't want to ruin the rest of your life because you didn't forgive and get the help that you needed for the healing of what happened with you, okay? So be very aware of that. I mean, I've seen some people that for years, just years, they were still looking backwards at what happened. And, you know, it's 12 years later, and they're still just holding on to this grudge and mad. And every time they see them in the grocery store, they just walk out of the store or whatever. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy. And here's the thing is, you might be able to talk to that person and tell them you forgive them, and they may not even respond. But when you forgive them, right there is a big step in your heart, and your heart will change towards that person. Instead of being mad and angry and whatever, you literally have empathy for that person that did that to you. Okay? And I've had to do that. And today it's like with some of these things that happened, number one, I really don't think about them anymore. But if I see that person, I just tear up and I start crying for them. Not for me, but for them. Okay? This is really an old story, but I just thought this might help. Sorry. Let me do one more thing. Forgiveness allows us to release the pain in our hearts. That's what it does. Several years ago, I had two separate situations in two different nations. One was here and one was in America at the same time. And it really hurt my heart. People I cared about and showed love and grace began attacking me. And they believed things about my motives that weren't true. In both situations, they really enjoyed recruiting others to believe those untruths about me. I don't know why people attack leaders. Not good. Don't do it. Don't do that. I did my best to convince them of my care and making things right, but it only worsened things. This was a tough and confusing time for me. Very, very was. And before this happened, I never in my life, with exception of just one person whose son I married. But that one didn't last very long, okay? So that was fine. She wanted to hold on to that boy. Okay. But really, other than that, I'd never had rejection in my life. You know, and I used to teach Search for Significance before handing it over, the baton. And I, even when doing that, I was like, I don't even get that. I don't even get that. But boy, did this one hurt. And then I understood what was going on. So this was tough and confusing, but before this happened, I had never experienced rejection. I had great friends. I still came to church, worked with believers and non-believers, and got along with people even if they're difficult. And for most of my life, and I don't think anybody's ever heard this before, people used to call me Happy Haley. You can put that slide. No, this is true. That was me. My mom did this, it's a caricature, back when we were, I think I was probably 12 years old or something then, I don't know. And I dug that out. So Happy Haley was now hurt. My heart was bruised, my heart internalized that everyone believed what all these people were saying. And funny enough, I was even with a person recently that I never knew him before, but he comes to church. And I had some time with him, and I was just chatting with him, And he brought this thing up, and he said, he goes, because I said, how long have you been to our church, to Miracle Life Church? And he said, oh man, I was even back at the Oasis. And he said, and I even remember the time when y'all moved into here and all these things. And he was just telling me all this stuff that I didn't even know. It was the other day. See, again, it popped up. And he said, because I was sitting down talking to him, and he said, and all you've done is just been trying to help me this whole time. So I used to be very innocent towards people, and now I was suspicious. It really, that's what it did in me, because my heart got warped, right? And I would read into things that weren't there. So how did this happen? So while other people were responsible for the lies that they were telling people, I didn't guard my heart. Okay? So we can go on and on all day long pointing our fingers out here. That's their problem. I need to fix my problem. Okay? And even when something like that happens, we shouldn't be running around telling everybody what's going on over there. You need to be protecting your heart and make sure you don't do something like that. Amen? And it's something that I think when people start doing that, they it's almost like they're trying to see how deep are we going to take this person under. Let's share more. Truth or not truth, you shouldn't be doing that. Okay? In speaking with many of you, other church members and Rhema students over the years, I realize many have faced rejection. Many of you. All right? And I love being there for people that have done that, because I get it more and more and more. Some in this room have faced rejection from significant people for many years. It's like ongoing all the time. It might be your in-laws or your outlaws or whatever you call them. Don't call them outlaws. Don't do that. But right, that happens. And let me remind you, ladies, when your daughter marries her husband, let them be. Mommy, don't be calling son to come home. He's married to his wife now. Amen? I know that hurts your heart. It does. Because y'all tell me that. But no, they're not at home anymore. They are with their wife. Okay? All right. So, what do we do? Because I was a mess. I needed help. And I acknowledged that. Okay? And so we have options about what to do. Some cover the pain with alcohol, some with drugs, some with sex, while others avoid people altogether. You should never be alone. You should never be alone. When you are alone, you're not getting the nutrients and the love that you need from others. So even if they don't know, you got to let them know you need help. Or come, you know, go get counseling, but you've got to do something. Others seek vengeance. Should we be doing that? No. It gets really ugly. Don't do that. Don't go be spreading and making it bigger than it was. Stop doing those things. That's not godly. So others seek vengeance by making others feel pain, thinking it will help them with their pain. If people in church hurt you, you have a temptation to run away from church. Well, I thought this was a church. And that person just did this. Well, you know what? They're still human. Okay? That's not an excuse. But forgive them and move on. Move on. Don't talk about them to other people. Get the help you need for the hurt that happened to you. If people in a church hurt you, you have a temptation to run away. And like I said, I wanted to too. Eventually, through reaching out to God and godly people, I got the help I needed. As God helped me to see them from His perspective, okay, and that's really big. You know, because now I'm starting to pray for them. I mean, they hurt me bad. And I don't get hurt easily. I really don't. Except for the last 2 months, apparently. Kind of. But nobody did anything to me. It was all in my head. And I was weird. Okay? Human here. Okay, as God helped me see them from His perspective, my heart changed. I'm getting really all over the place here. Okay, under the Lord, we all need to take responsibility for reacting to the hurt in our lives. Okay? In my circumstance, I didn't only talk to God. I needed other perspectives, wisdom, and counsel. And I really wouldn't be here today. We almost left at that time. But we knew, we just like we said at the beginning here, no, my heart was hurt. We were not called to leave. Right? So we've got to push on through that. We don't quit. You don't quit until He says, this is your next assignment. Amen? You stay the course. Get the help you need to get you through. Amen. Maria, you can go, right? Where are you? Yes, she'll be talking to you all about other stuff, but she's a counselor. I didn't know you back then. All right. So, I wouldn't be here today had I not had help from others. And again, I always say that's Jesus with skin on, and God. He helped me a lot. The people I helped at the cardio rehab center made it because they were disciplined enough to keep coming to the center and do the exercise and the different things that they needed to do. But they literally had to come like 3 times a week or they wouldn't survive, you know. And then eventually that just became normal for them and they could walk in their neighborhoods and do all these other things. So it's not like you just get, you know, a prayer and now everything's okay. Sometimes that does happen. It really does. But other times, you've got to keep working through it until you get to the other side. And it's tough doing that. I think y'all have heard of the rubber band thing here. A rubber band doesn't do anything unless you stretch it. It's the same thing with life. Sometimes you've got to do hard things so that you can overcome things. And make sure that you do. When I refer to the godly people who need to help you, they don't join you in the hurt and bitterness. So you've got to have friends that you do need to share some stuff with them. But if they're now mad at the person that hurt you, that's not a good friend. It's not. But people do that all the time. And now they're mad. Right? Okay. They don't give you alcohol and drugs. They put their arm around you and they care for you and they pray with you and they walk with you. They don't take offense with you as that is unnecessary help. It's not helping anything. Ephesians 4:31-32. So get rid of all the bitterness, the rage, the anger, the harsh words, the slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I know that we live in a fallen world. And I know that life gets very tough sometimes. And there's family matters, there's boyfriend matters, there's husband matters, there's work challenges. But Father, we can always rely on you. We can always rely on you, Lord. And Father, what you showed me earlier today is that there are many in this room that have damaged hearts. And it's been going on for years. And Father, I thank you that you asked me to do this message for them. And if you will obey God. He's saying right now, I really do want your heart to be whole. I'm here. I've always been here for you. But you've still got a lot of bitterness in your heart. You're still angry at what that person did to you. And I've got life for you to live. But you're not walking in it because you're still hurting. God's saying that He wants you to come up to the front and don't be embarrassed. No one's going to know what's going on. But you need to let this go. Over here, you guys that are there, just come up. Just come up right here. Let's just do this. All of you that are on this team. Yeah. Okay. So there's all of these ladies here. They've been praying for y'all for months, not knowing who's going to be coming up here. And if one of you are needing to get prayer, then just step out and go to someone else, okay? But if you need prayer, then please just come on up here, and these ladies are going to pray for you. And have boldness to share what's going on so that they can pray with you. Amen.